Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Kristen, how are you?
Hi. It's been weeks, literally.
So good to see your face on this Zoom here.
So good to see you. So good to hear your voice. It's been so long, quite literally.
It has
had some busy weeks.
I'm not okay with this.
We've had some busy weeks. You've been sick. Like I've been in Indiana and it's been a crazy last couple weeks, but I'm glad we at least are forced to catch up every couple weeks to be able to record this podcast.
I know.
Right?
I'm so happy. Tell me about your week. What have you been doing?
Yeah. So since we last talked, which was essentially last time we recorded, Easter, we had Easter, yeah. Right? We recorded right before Easter. And it was great. I got to spend it with my family. A whole bunch of family came over. It was a little chilly. And so we couldn't really do a whole lot outside, but we were still able to, you know, hide Easter eggs and everything. We have some older kids that aren't necessarily loving Easter egg hunting unless you put money in them.
Yes.
And so they each have their own color.
Yeah, it was hilarious.
They each have their own colors. So they are 14, 14, and 17 is their ages. And they have their money and their own colors of eggs. And they get one big egg with their each in respective color that has, I thought was $5, but apparently it's been up to $15. So I went in on the eggs next year, but I got to hide for my oldest nephew, Caden, and that was so much fun. It probably took them a good 30 minutes to be able to find all the eggs. So
nice. It
was fun to watch them look at hiding spots that we had done years before and be like, oh, it's not there. And you know, all of that fun stuff.
You have to up your game.
Exactly. And he's like 6'2". So I have to go really, really high if I want to do anything higher than him. So it's a lot of fun. So Easter was great. I went on a women's retreat in Indiana. I actually just got back today and that was really great. It was a good refreshing time to just get away for a little bit. We stayed at this beautiful hotel. It kind of looked like Regency era, like Jane Austen, like we should be going around with all of those dresses that I would not be wearing, but it looked kind of like that era. And we just got to fellowship and spend some time with some ladies from my church. So it was a really sweet time. And
I love that.
Really, really great. How about you? How have you been? You've been sick.
Yeah. So last recording, I was like, oh, my allergies are acting up, and they were. And now I'm on almost 2 weeks of not really being able to hear out of one of my ears. And it's been fun times. Yeah. So like doctor's trips and all the fun things. But yeah, we had Easter and I had to work Easter service, and it was so fun just to see everyone there. And it was just a beautiful time of just celebrating that God did what he said he was going to do, you know. Right. I love it so much. And so this week I've just been writing a lot, some curriculum writing, and finishing one of my sweet friends wrote a book called Embrace Your Life, and I'm finishing it for the third time. It's so good. And we are going to have her on to talk about it hopefully really soon. But
I've started it. I think I'm like halfway through the first chapter, but I've been enjoying it so far, and I'm really looking forward to finishing it and being able to dig into it. So
yeah, I have most of the book is highlighted like pink.
Yeah.
There's so many. And so then like this last time I was like, that's so good. You know, there's just some things that you read and it just like gets deep into your bones. And I'm like, so I got it on audiobook. And so now like, I just hear her awesome voice.
Yeah.
Like, she needs to record like something for like, what are they called? Like the Bible, audio Bibles.
Oh yeah.
Like, they have that. I'm like, she needs to record an audio Bible.
Yeah. Like Dwell Bible or something like that.
Yeah. So yeah, I've done some reading this week, which has been really nice. I've been so busy lately. I haven't really got to do that. And then I got a steroid shot the other day. And as I'm leaving, I love my doctor, but she's like, hey, don't make any like irrational decisions, like any life decisions, any choices you have to make. I wouldn't do it. How right
comforting,
now.
Right? Like, yeah. Hey, I've just given you this medication. Don't make any decisions.
It was like a really strong steroid shot. And then I had like other antibiotics I was taking, and yeah. And so it was like 4 a.m. and I'm wide awake. And I'm like, you know what I want to do? I want to go to a baseball game.
You know those life-altering decisions you told me not to do? Although a baseball game is not life-altering. It is actually a great decision to go to a baseball game.
Well, I thought it could have been, because my husband woke up and he was like, I said, hey, babe.
Because it's not just you two, right? It's all four. It's the whole family. It's all four of us.
I was like, you know how I was told not to make any big decisions? Well.
Hey, babe.
Hey, babe, we're going to a baseball game tonight. It was so much fun because my kids are at that age where it's not just keeping them busy. Like they are, like, I love baseball and they are like entertained. And we were like cheering for different teams. And it was just really sweet time. Although
I saw your son, Ollie, might be a Braves fan now.
He really liked their chant.
What is that?
He really liked their chant. Yeah.
What are you really allowing in your hand?
And so I look over and he just keeps doing it. And he's like, I'm cheering for the blue team. I was like, okay. So if you want kids to cheer for your team, you just need to have a really fun chant or something.
Yeah. I mean, when you're six, that's, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all that matters.
Exactly. Well, Kristen, this week, when we had been going back and forth,
last two weeks,
really? Yeah, these last 2 weeks we've been going back and forth on what the Lord had for us as far as attributes go. You know, we're continuing our deep dive, I guess, into the attributes of God, and you and I have been like just throwing stuff back and forth, and every single time I kept coming up with this one thing, and you would push back, and then I was like, okay, that's fine, and I'd come up with something different. Like a different angle, but it was the same attribute. The same
every finally, time.
Like the third time, you're like, Shanna, obviously, this is what the Holy Spirit has. So we're going to do it. This is what we're doing. So I, as I was thinking about this, I was thinking, you know, I don't really want to start like, you know, think about Genesis 1:1, like in the beginning, God created. And I'm like, you know, but there is something before the beginning. Like God has been around before the beginning. So that's kind of what we want to talk about today. This episode is going to be very much a conversational between me and you as friends and talking this out. And I'm really looking forward to that. But
because honestly, I think in all of our conversations, I don't think we've ever necessarily discussed these attributes in depth like this.
Yeah.
So it really is, this is like some things that we're going to hit. We've discussed at large. We just kind of planned out some of the other attributes that we're going to go through. And there's some that Shanna has heard me just wax eloquently on for hours and hours and hours. But these truly are ones that I don't think we've really dug into together. So it's going to be a lot of fun to have this conversation with you.
Yeah. And I know when we were talking about it, you were like, Shanna, like, we don't want to start off so deep. You know, and like,
well, in my defense, you also picked like four different ones that you wanted to do in one episode. I was like, wait. I was like, we have no buy-in for these people. Like, we can't bore them yet. We can't give them a 2-hour.
Yes. If you know anything about our friendship, I have all these great ideas. And Kristen's like, but practically speaking, Shanna.
I am the practical one.
It is so true. 18 years of friendship. yes, but I want to start by just kind of reminding our listeners and even me and you ourselves. As we start this, remind ourselves that we are all theologians. I think we throw that term around and you think of people who have this like big college degree or pastors, but you know, there are moms and dads and sisters and brothers and grandpas and grandma, like we are all theologians. We all have a belief about God. Mm-hmm. And that makes you a theologian. And so I don't think that what we're going to be talking about is super hard to talk about. I'm going to throw out one big word. We're going to talk about a new word.
We're going to talk and define a new word and then probably not refer to it throughout the rest of the episode. But exactly. It is so that when you all hear it in the wild, you'll at least be like, oh, I vaguely recall these two random ladies talking about this on a podcast. So you'll at least have a context, and it won't be the first time that you're hearing it if you hear it.
Exactly.
In conversation somewhere else.
Exactly. Or you could throw the term around and sound super smart.
And sound really smart. But then you have to define it. So make sure that if you say it,
yeah,
because people, if they don't understand it, you'll have to define it. So make sure that you can also define it, because it kind of eliminates the smart aspect.
It's true.
Can't define it. So true. What is that word?
Okay. Today we are going to be talking about the aseity of God. So when we say aseity, it's like we're saying that God is asay, right? He has aseity. And that just means that he is self-existent and self-sufficient. So the term aseity comes from a Latin phrase, which means from or by himself. So God is self-existent and he is self-sufficient. And that just all that together, God's aseity. So it's pretty easy, right?
Yeah, really easy.
That wasn't too difficult.
Look, we podcast over. We did it. Good job.
We did it. We did it. We defined the word.
We defined the word.
Yeah. Yeah. So the word aseity, I think, just captures all of the glory of the perfection of God's being. So before the beginning, before in the beginning, God created, God has always existed. So he was there, right? And I think that we need to talk about that. We need to kind of grasp that, because I think our limited minds, we just come to like, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Like, what was he doing before that? You know?
Right.
And so I think what makes God different from people and from any other thing is that God and only God has aseity. We don't have that.
It is not something that we can attain.
Exactly. He alone exists by his own power. No one made him or caused him. He exists in and of himself. And that is a quality that no creature shares. That's an attribute that we cannot share. So what kind of attribute is that, Kristen?
It is an incommunicable attribute.
That's right.
I get a gold star for that?
You do. I'm so proud of you.
We said at the beginning, we're like, we don't want this to be a teacher student thing. And we've basically turned this first part into it, but it's fine.
Yeah. Well, it's because you have to learn a new word.
It's true.
It's
true.
Not a word that we like throw around in our vocabulary. No. So I feel like it really describes perfectly the two words together, because it's technically two attributes together. Right. So yeah. And if you really think about it, God is continually speaking this word, the world into existence. He didn't just make us and he's like, you're on your own. Here you go. You know, and
have fun.
No. Yeah, I think it's really, really important for us to recognize that he's preserving the creation he created, like present tense. Mm-hmm. Colossians says, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Hebrews says he's the radiance of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature, and he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Like, that's present tense.
Right.
And I think that is, we have to remember that, as we're talking about these things, that, we are not like God in this, that he is continually speaking and preserving, things into existence. Every breath, every heartbeat is a continual act from God. So
that's aseity, right? Like, that's the description of that word. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned at the beginning when you first started was that he is self-existent and self-sufficient. Mm-hmm. So it kind of boils down to those two attributes kind of termed in this one of aseity. So self-existence, walk us through a little bit about what we mean when we say that God is self-existent.
It's really hard, I think, to kind of put our mind to that. But really what we're just saying is that God depends on nothing and no one to give him life or existence. So in the beginning, he already existed. He was not created. There has never been a moment when God did not exist. And I think the attribute of God's self-existence is one that really just kind of surpasses our understanding a lot, because we try to understand a self-existent and infinite God with our created and finite minds. And that's really hard, I think, for us to do. You know, you think that a self-existent God created like every person, every mountain, every flower. I think of like going to Colorado. One of my favorite things is like going up there and just like jeeping is like one of my most favorite things to do. And when you just get up high in the mountains and you just look out and you're just like, wow, like this was a created thing. And only God can bring something from nothing, you know, which is different from us, because we are just, or at least I am, a really needy person.
Right. Whenever, when you were talking and mentioned about that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around it, I was just having this conversation a little bit earlier today in the car, but then also it's a conversation that I've had with your husband, right? Like often mm-hmm. about the fact that, and this kind of jumps into a little bit of application, but it's fine. We'll show our cards a little bit in it, but how great that is that we do have a God that we cannot understand, because mm-hmm. if we could wrap our brains around it, that no longer makes him God. It makes him just like us. Why, what's the purpose of worshiping him and holding him in any kind of high regard if we could understand him? So it helps frame that as like, there are going to be things that I will not ever understand about God. And that mm-hmm. is good. Like that is good, because that means that he is not like me, and praise God, he is not like me.
Man, absolutely. That just makes him, I think I keep going back to this attribute, which is he's incomprehensible, mm-hmm. right? He's beyond our understanding. And there's something really great about that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So when we are talking about like his self-existence and how he's completely different from us and why that's a really good thing, I think it was an A.W. Tozer. He said something that all of our problems and their solutions are theological. So when we're talking about self-existence, in this situation, Tozer was not denying that we need things like medicine and clothing and shelter and food. Like those are all good things, right? Like good gifts of common grace. But all those solutions are rooted in God, because all things are rooted in God.
Right.
And so all of these are just like a flow from a loving Father to all of his creation, regardless of whether they acknowledge God or not. Let's think about that for a second.
Right. Those common graces that we have of like food tasting good. Food tastes good to everyone.
Yeah, exactly.
Not just to those that believe in God, but that they taste good to everyone.
Yeah, exactly. And so I think that like, if we're going to talk about his self-existence, it's that God depends on nothing and no one to give him life, and that all things flow from him and are made to glorify him. Mm-hmm. And so that is kind of like his self-existence quickly, I would say. Would you add anything to that?
No, you hit it all.
Because it's really, I mean, it's really deep, and you could keep going really deep.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we could. And obviously, we're going to hit application after. We're going to hit both of the self-existent and self-sufficient, and then we'll flow into application of what that now means for us.
Yeah.
And how does that change how we live and our actions?
Yeah.
But as far as self-sufficient, again, self-existence, they kind of are easy to describe, because they mm-hmm. describe the words themselves are what they mean, right?
So yeah, he's self-existing. Right.
He exists within himself. There's nothing mm-hmm. to give him life or existence. Self-sufficiency, right? He is not mm-hmm. vulnerable. He doesn't have any needs like us.
Yeah.
We are very needy people, as you said earlier.
I'm a very needy person.
Very needy people. So talk to us and walk us through about self-sufficiency.
Yeah, this attribute is tied very closely to his self-existence, right? While the attribute of his self-existence taught us that God was not created and exists like independently or separate from all things, this attribute focuses on the fact that he has no needs. Mm-hmm. He is completely sufficient and satisfied in himself. And I think as I was like really studying his attributes and kind of coming out of like fundamentalism and just kind of like, what does the Bible say? Not just what does a man tell me the Bible says, but what does the Bible say? When I got to this part, I was like, you know, he did not have to create humanity. Mm-hmm. Like he did not have a hole in his heart. And he was like, I really need companionship. Like right. He was before creation, God was perfectly satisfied in himself, living in perfect unity and community as the triune God. Like he did not, he was like, I'm really bored. Let's just create humans, you know? Right.
He didn't have like a you complete me moment, right? Exactly. Like he didn't make us and say, oh, you complete me now. Like this is what I have been looking for. It exactly. was not that at all.
No.
He did not, like you said, he didn't need us for companionship. Yeah. He already had that within yeah. himself with the triune God.
Yeah, it was out of I read this in a book once. It was out of an overflow of his love that he created us. And I'm like that when I read that, I had to sit on it for a little bit, you know, so I'm like, what a beautiful picture of his goodness. And that it was just out of an overflow of the love that he had. We exist. Mm-hmm. There is nothing that he depends on and nothing controls him. Ooh. Like he controls all things. What is that verse? Is it Acts 17?
Yeah, here, I have it here. Acts 17, 24 through 25. The God who made the world and everything in it, being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. He is not served by human hands as though he needed anything. I love that. Like as if he needed anything.
Yeah.
Because he's actually the one that gives life and breath and everything.
Yeah.
And just that idea of what you said about how nothing controls him, mm-hmm. which means that need would be a limit, right? When we need something, it is a limit on us.
Yeah.
And because he doesn't need anything outside of himself, he can't be controlled or manipulated or coerced or blackmailed mm-hmm. by someone or something that possesses mm-hmm. something he doesn't have, right? Like that is where we are. We dependent on our need, we can be influenced to do things.
Yeah.
So if you think about like, if you are hungry and you're at the ballpark and you're extremely hungry and you go in before you're hungry and you say, I would never pay $10 for a hot dog. Like there's no way.
Too soon, Kristen, too soon.
But then why do you think I use the example?
But you then bought halfway, four of them last night.
But then halfway through the game, you're starving and yes. you're like, you know what? $10 is fine. I don't care. You have been convinced based on your need.
Justifying.
And justified mm-hmm. something and have been convinced to do something that you said you would not. And that's not where God is because he does not have a need. Mm-hmm. And nothing can control him and he's not going to be manipulated. There's nothing to offer
yeah.
an almighty God when every need and desire is wholly met within himself.
Yeah. And I think if we're thinking of it in those terms, man, like that means he can be trusted.
Right.
Because he's not swayed by opinions or he's trustworthy. That's really good, Kristen. I really love that. I love that, you know, he is perfect in all of his attributes. We've talked about that, you know, last week. And he's sufficient apart from all things. And I think that when we think about his self-existence and his self-sufficiency and what that says about the nature and character of who he is, mm-hmm. His aseity, if you will, there's your word. How does that make really, like, how does that apply to you and I? Like, what would you say? Like, we know that they're incommunicable attributes, right? And that we have needs because we were created with needs. We were created by a limitless God, and we have limits. And so could you just maybe say, like, how does his self-existence, knowing that about him, how would that apply to us?
So one of the things that I thought about, and actually, as I compare our notes, it's really funny to see our notes side by side and how much we overlap. But one of the things that I was thinking through is that, so we are a created being, right? And God is self-existent and the creator of all things. And that means that he is the one responsible for the care of his creation. Not us. Mm-hmm. That means we don't have the rights. God owns everything. He is responsible for its care, and he has the right to do with it as he wishes. Mm-hmm. But we've been given responsibility,
yeah,
to it, mm-hmm, but we don't have ultimate say over it. Which means that kind of wherever our sphere of influence is, we often convince ourselves that we deserve credit for creating what we have in our minds created.
Yeah.
But really, it's been given by God, and we are just called to steward it.
Oh, that's so good. That is so good. You said that we convince ourselves that we deserve credit for creating, but we were actually called to steward. That is really good.
Yeah, because we do all end up with a creator complex, right? Like, yeah, we think that we've created our families. Yeah. And when really God is the one, if you are married, that, mm-hmm, gave you your spouse, God is the one that gave you, yeah, your children. Your children do not owe you things. God, mm-hmm, gave them to you. We do, yeah, it with our jobs. We say, oh, look at what we have created. Look at how I have climbed the corporate ladder, how I have done this. And really, it's just God has given us that to steward.
That's good.
We do it with our ministries. Like, there's so many different things that we kind of look at and we say, look at what I have created. When in reality, we create, mm-hmm, nothing. We have no ability to create anything.
Yeah. I think to take that stewardship a little further, we often confuse stewardship with, like, ownership. Mm-hmm. And that's similar to what you're saying, is like, the Lord has given me my children to raise and steward well. And I think a lot of times when my kids are sick, or I want to have just like this white knuckle, super tight grip on them, I have to remember, whether it is their salvation or anything, I have to remember that it is him that gives life, that is him that sustains things, that creates, and I am just called to steward that well. That's really good. I think there's freedom in that too, right? There's freedom found in recognizing that only God creates. Like, we don't have to find, especially in today's society, we don't have to find our value in things or possessions, which is a really big thing in the West, right?
Right.
It doesn't rest in the things that we own or possess. It rests in our origin. Like, mm-hmm, it rests our, how do I say this? Like, our success and failure is not a validation of our worth.
Right.
So, like, we bear the mark of our maker. We don't have to be original, but we worship the one, what can I say? Like, the original OG. We keep that in.
We worship. Oh boy.
Oh boy. And we're canceled. But yeah, we worship, the one who gives and sustains life. And I think it's a beautiful thing whenever we remember that our creator God, like, his specialty is bringing something from nothing. Can you maybe think of some things other than the creation speaking into existence? Like, can you think of maybe some ways that, you know, God just, like, he specializes in bringing something from nothing?
So if you think about it, we can't create hope where there's hopelessness, but God can. Mm-hmm. God creates love where there's lovelessness, And we can't create repentance where there's unrepentance, but we can cry out to the God who can. That's just different ways that he can create things out of nothing. I think the one that resonates with me the most is hope where there is hopelessness. Like we do not have hope. And we've talked about that before, and possibly on the podcast, about how we don't know how people who don't believe in God go through trials because they are hopeless without God. And God can create that hope, and God does create that hope.
Yeah, that's so good. When we're talking about like his self-sufficiency and how we are not self-sufficient, right? God designed us to be dependent on many things. Like we need things to survive, right? We're dependent for food, water, and shelter. And our dependence on all of these things points us to our ultimate dependence on God, who's the provider of all these things. And it's not that he's the provider of all these things, but he also sustains us. So like I remember Psalms 107 says that it is him alone who satisfies our longing hearts. Mm-hmm. We need the Lord. But I think a lot of times we try to be self-sufficient like God is.
Right.
Or I can rephrase it and say, I try to be self-sufficient like God is.
And stop looking at me like that. I know.
I know. Exactly.
Absolutely. I think one of the things that I read in preparing for this that really hit home for me in this regards, because to be completely transparent, those of you that know me know that this is something that I definitely struggle with. I struggle with showing vulnerability and that I need something, thinking that I can be self-sufficient. But something that I read in preparing for this is the idea, and I don't know how, because I don't think I was taught this outright. Actually, I can say without a doubt, I know I was not taught this growing up, but somehow in my life, I have internalized and believed that human need is a result of sin, mm-hmm. when it absolutely is not. Like it's not, we do not need, it is not a sin problem that we need something. God created us to need him and to depend on him. That was before the fall. He was providing them breath, food, water, light, land, all of those things was he providing. Those were needs that they had before sin entered into the world. And somehow I have gotten it twisted that need is something that I have viewed as a failure, a flaw, a lack of proper planning or ambition or something weakness. Along those lines. It is a weakness, and it is a weakness to be beaten out of me is kind of the way I start thinking through it, because I love autonomy. I love to be independent. And it's even worse because I am single and I've had to be independent in many different ways, just out of where God has me in life. So it doesn't make it any easier. I'm like, God, it's making this worse. Why is it making it worse? Why is my season of life making this worse? Yeah. But it really is. But as I was reading that, I was like, wow, I've truly believed that to need something is a result of like a sin or a fallen nature. And I will say, like, some Christians will even teach that like physical, financial, spiritual need is a sign that God has removed his blessing from us because of some failure on our part. So I do recognize that there is some teaching and some people that have said, if you fail in this, God will remove you'll have a financial need.
Oh yeah.
Right. Like if you don't go to church, your car is going to break down later on this week. And that is directly right. And that is directly tied to sin. And that is false. Yeah. Like, can we just say that? Like, that is not the way that works, because we need God and we need each other, right? We were created to need each other as well. And I think when I live, and again, I think we talked about this, how like our actions show what we are believing about God. And as I live, I would not necessarily say that I don't need God, but the way I live definitely shows that. And for sure, the way I live out shows that I don't need other people. And it's a struggle for me, and it's something that I'm continuously having to work on and counsel and have other people point out to me and say, hey, remember, it's not bad to need anything. I remember when my brother, I was living in Texas by myself, hadn't found a church home really. I just started going to a really great church that I ended up joining, but hadn't really established anything. And I had a need that I needed to move something, and it was very heavy, and I didn't know anyone to help me with this. You guys were 3 hours away, so that wasn't helping me. And I remember talking to my brother about it, and just in passing talking about it. And he said, Kristen, call your church. Like, you may not be a member, but you've been going a decent amount of time. I bet you they would be willing to come and help. And they were, and I just needed someone to tell me, hey, call someone, like call your church, call your local body. But we need each other as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, that's good. I think what's so interesting about you and I and how we are, we're very similar in a lot of things, but like with things that you struggle with, maybe I don't. Like I will ask for help in a heartbeat. But the one thing that I do struggle with, which I also think, I think both of these things is rooted in pride.
Oh, for sure.
So like you are very independent. You do not want to depend on other people for anything, which is honestly, like, I've seen some of your home renovations that you are like, I watch a YouTube video. I'm like, what in the world? I am hiring somebody. But I, on the other hand of that, I've struggled forever with this idea of perfectionism, which I think is a byproduct of legalism and growing up that way. And so interesting, because I went to go see a doctor a couple of years ago for like unrelated health issue. And as we're sitting there, she's like, hey, like, can you just kind of tell me like what's been going on in your life recently? And this was like right before COVID. And I was like, well, I've lost 4 grandparents. It was like in the middle of COVID, I think. I was like, my husband's dad just died, like all these things. And she's like, have you ever considered talking to somebody? I was like, no, I'm good. Because the way like it was kind of like ingrained in my head that you just take things to the Lord and you just pray about it. And if you're sick, you pray about it, you know, like, like, you know, the great physician that was said to me so many times. And so the idea that I had to hit all of these certain marks and be perfect in order for God to be pleased with me was a really big deal. And so through counseling, and I have an amazing counselor, but we really discovered, we did like some clinical testing, and I don't know if, I did not know this was a thing, but apparently there is a thing called OCD perfectionism. So it's not that I'm just a perfectionist, but it's like, to the nth degree, am I a perfectionist? Like, if I don't do something that I feel like I could do to the best of my ability, or it does not meet expectation, I will, like, my worth to myself will go down, you know, like, I'm like, I'm unworthy because of this. It's all lies from the enemy, of course. But whereas you're like, it's fine.
It's true.
Fine. But through this, through really talking to you, talking to my husband, my church has been amazing through this, but I've had a lot of people really speak into me and just remind me that, God's limits are by design, and it's a good thing.
Right.
And when I try to push those limits, when I try to think that I am perfect, when I cannot be perfect, when I try to, put my value on something that I cannot ever attain, I am living outside of what God calls good. Mm-hmm. And I expect perfection when Christ just wants progress, that sanctification, right? But like you said, I know those things, but then practically living that out day by day. I'm writing something now for like our church, like VBS. And I'm like, I have to walk away, because I will sit and I'll reread it like 100 times. And I'm like, what I wrote was good. Why am I doing this? Like, it is still a constant thing. And I really am, like, this week, doing this, like the Lord really ministered to my heart. Like, I still need to be reminded of God's self-sufficiency and his self-existence, and that I am a needy person who needs him.
Yeah. And that, and there's so many more, like those are just two ways that personally each of us struggle with this. Yeah. Right. But there's other ways that this takes form, right? Even in the fact that like we'll work late into the night and denying our need of rest, right? Mm-hmm. That we don't need to rest.
Yeah.
So we'll work way too late. We'll ignore our symptoms of illnesses, denying that we need medical attention, that we could possibly be sick.
Yeah.
And that is me to the nth degree as well. And it's that idea of not needing anyone. So it shows itself in just various forms. And I think we operate out of, as if we're self-sufficient by not praying, right? Our prayerlessness is us operating out of a sense of self-sufficiency. When we don't go to God in prayer, we're saying, I got this, God. Mm-hmm. I don't need you. Mm-hmm. I don't need you for this. When really it's the direct opposite. We're told to be praying without ceasing.
Yeah.
We avoid Christian community, right? We need mm-hmm. each other. We need the accountability that that comes with Christian community. So when we avoid Christian community, we lack accountability there. And again, that looks different, but ultimately for both of us, right? For you, it's a perfectionist side. Like, oh, I don't want to be accountable or open up to someone because they might think I'm less than perfect. Mm-hmm. And for me, it is, I don't need them. I don't want them to think that I need them. So mm-hmm. I'm not going to open up, right? It shows itself differently, but ultimately the same things. And then just a constant state of exhaustion. Again, I think this culture, and it seems to be dwindling a little bit, kind of sliding into self-care aspect, which I cringe a little bit when I say that, but
I saw that you physically
was
did
a
that
physical cringe. But there has been like this hustle idea of like always having to have a hustle and a side hustle and go yeah. to the point of exhaustion. And that is us just saying, you know what, God, you created us with a need for sleep and rest, which, spoiler alert, Jesus rested as well when he was here on the earth. Mm-hmm. So if Jesus had to rest, so do we. But when we like push and push and push and go and go and go and never take a Sabbath or anything like that, we are just saying we are sufficient. You created us for rest, but we don't need it. I don't need it. I specifically, other people probably need it, but I don't.
You're good. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. How you feeling?
Now I'm going to go repent for a while.
Oh man. I think that, you know, one thing that we teach our kids is like, we talk to God through prayer and God talks to us through his word. And I think the enemy is going to use these things. He's going to use like your independence, my perfectionism, right? To get us and to make us think that we don't need God. And we have to be, like you said, pray without ceasing. We have to be in that posture of prayer and staying in the word in order for us to rightly see God like this, mm-hmm. rightly view him. I think that, you know, if this shows us nothing, is that our neediness just points us to the gospel and points us back to Jesus, right?
Right. Just like you said, you know, when we rightly view God, we are then mm-hmm. able to rightly view ourselves. And this is a perfect example of that, right? We view God, we know that God is self-existent and self-sufficient. Yeah. And that highlights that in and of itself, because it's not something that we can attain. That in itself highlights the fact that we are created beings. Mm-hmm. And that we need God and we need other people and just how needy we are and that we are not self-sufficient. Like those are things we cannot attain. So it's going to highlight just how much we cannot attain that.
Yeah. And if we're looking like it points us back to Jesus and we know that, you know, he humbled himself and became a man mm-hmm. that experienced everything that we did, right? He experienced our weakness. He knew every temptation that we would ever face. He experienced being hungry and thirsty and he went to the cross to pay the price for our sin. Mm-hmm. Like, he who had no need met our needs with himself.
Right.
And I think we have to, when we are feeling these things, when we are feeling that, I mean, all of these things, eventually, at least perfectionism, you can speak to yours, because I don't know, I depend on people. Perfectionism, it leads to like anxiety, or this sense of like, for me, it leads to this sense of like being anxious, because I know I am a limited being and I am trying to be superwoman, mm-hmm. and I can't, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think that we have to just come back to the gospel every single time and remember what God said is true about himself in his word. And then what he says is true about us in line of himself. Hey, Kristen, aseity.
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 We know how to say it. We know how to describe it. Yeah. Do we know how to spell it? It is A-S-E-I-T-Y. For those of you that want to know how it's spelled. Wow. What a fantastic conversation. I won't even say like what a fantastic show. It was just a fantastic conversation to be able to have, and convicting. And I thought, like, as I was writing my notes, I was like, oh man, this is convicting. And then as we're talking about it, I'm like, oh man, this is even more convicting as we're like verbalizing this and bouncing things off of each other. But what a great reminder.
I know. I'm already looking forward to the next one too.
Oh yes.
Yes.
We actually did plan it out.
Oh yeah.
Because
what are we going to talk about next time?
Next time we are talking about God's goodness. Mm. We decided to go with a communicable attribute, and one that is, as we were talking through it and as we were talking through like this whole series, because honestly, we could probably spend a year going through each attribute, but we have so much more that we want to discuss. So we're not going to be able to hit all of them. So as we sat and kind of determined which one we're doing next and kind of what we want this series to look like, there's two specific attributes that Shanna, even you said, really there's three. God's goodness is one that I have seen and have wrestled through, and you've wrestled through them with me. Mm-hmm. That's the benefits of being my best friend, is that you've seen me wrestle through and you've seen the questions and you've seen the desperation that I've gotten to. And so to talk about his goodness, we will try to keep it brief, but I cannot guarantee it.
Yeah.
Because I can say, I mean, God is good. He is good, and he can not be anything but good.
I'm really looking forward to it. Cause if we're going to, I think everyone will say, yes, Kristen, God's good.
God's
yes.
Good.
And amen. But then when we define it a little bit to, he is what is best and he gives what is best. And so if what we're going through right now, we may not think is fair or whatever, you know, it's God's best for us right now.
Right.
And so I'm really excited.
So that is coming up.
Yeah. That is. And can I say something real quick? And then
I would love
to. This has been a long one.
It has been.
I have been so encouraged this last 2 weeks by the amount of messages that we have received. Like, brought to tears a couple of times, because we are just two friends having conversations, and to hear that it's really helping people see God differently, helping them in really hard times look at God's character to help them pull through that. Like, man, that has been so encouraging. So if you, our website, I promise, is coming, but feel free to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms. We would love to hear what God is teaching you, showing you, doing through you.
Absolutely. And I mean, we've heard about like practical applications of some of the things that we've had, we've been able to talk about, and how like even within that week that it has come up and they've been able, you know, people have been able to say, wow, this is like exactly what, and I just heard this podcast on. And if this doesn't reach out to anyone else, just these first couple weeks of hearing that feedback has been totally worth it. It's just been, like you said, moved to tears. And it's just been so great to hear how God is using us, you know, us having these discussions. It's been really, really cool.
Yeah. All right, friend. It's a great conversation.
Great conversation. It's a late night conversation. Truly is a late night for us.
It truly is a late night for us.
I know.
We have to get up early in the morning.
It's church in the morning. But it's been a great conversation. Yeah. And until next time.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Grow in Grace podcast. You can find us at growingracepodcast.com for links to all of our social medias, resources we suggest, and to listen to previous episodes. We hope you can join us next time as we strive together to grow in grace.